I'd like to, for us to give our attention to Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. I've titled our message this morning, Beholding His Glory. Beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the glory of the prophets, not the glory of the apostles, not the glory of God's ministers, not even the glory of the angels, but the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That glory that excelleth, the scripture says, His glory excels, goes beyond any other glory. This passage that I'm about to read, even though it's worthy to read the whole chapter, but because of time, I'll not do that. But this is concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, His leaving this earth. And He was received up into heaven. This man that was 33 plus years old was caught up into heaven. Those that looked, those that beheld, they did not really understand what they were seeing. They understood faintly what they were seeing. And I feel like I can be identified with them. I understand faintly. I look through a glass dimly. I want to see more. And I'm encouraged by this fact that these men did later see more. It's by revelation. Look with me in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The person whom these mortal men, were blessed to see disappearing out of their sight into the vast expanse of space. This had never been seen in this manner before. Into the heaven of heavens was none other than the resurrected and glorified God-man, God incarnate, the Son of God, the Son of Man. All that He came to accomplish here on this earth in His flesh was accomplished. He had glorified His Father, and He had finished the work which He came to do, namely to obtain eternal redemption, eternal salvation for the elect of God. And in so doing, He established for them an everlasting righteousness and put away their sin forever. This is who they saw leaving this earth. He had finished the work that God the Father had sent Him to do. He finished it perfectly. We see Him in His divine nature, if we see His glory, and we see Him in His sinless humanity, if we really see and behold His glory as the God-man. He glorified the Father here on this earth. He pleased God. He satisfied his Father. God accepted the work that he had completed, he had finished, and he left out of their sight. That's simple, isn't it? That's plain. But it's miraculous. Here's a living man in the flesh. In John chapter 1, the scripture says the Word was made flesh. And we beheld his glory. How do we behold his glory? In his redemptive work as God and as man. This one man, perfect in human flesh, ascending into glory. And today, July 13th, 2008, as time is here on this earth, this same man resides in the flesh on the right hand of the Father. And he's there ever living to make intercession for his people. Glory is something which distinguishes one from all others. And this would be an endless task that I could never, ever complete to try to describe to you the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is so different from us. But there are two or three things that make him glorious in his glorious person that distinguishes him from all others. One of the things is this, that in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I present to you this morning as the only Redeemer, in this man resides, dwells, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And let me say this right at the beginning. If you don't know him this morning, you'll not be able to behold his glory with the redeemed. You may believe it as much as a man can believe it in doctrinal truth. You may believe it theoretically. But oh, to behold his glory and know him, that's where it's at. That's salvation. This is life eternal, that we may know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And you'll never know him until you behold him in his glory. He's distinguished from all others because this man in the flesh has no sin. Has no sin whatsoever. He is a sinless, harmless Son of God. There may have been some that witnessed this wondrous event that did not understand. And there may be some here this morning that witnessed the reading of these words written by the pen of the Spirit of God that do not understand. This seems to be the case. The angels seem to perceive this because they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" They stand and gaze in wonder. What is going on? He's leaving us. Just a few hours prior to this, they looked at a man hanging on a cross. They said, "He's dead. He's leaving us." They were sorrowful. They were sad. What's going on? And now they outside of Jerusalem, they saw this same one that was dead, alive, and they saw him ascend out of their sight. And they stood there gazing up. They saw the event, but maybe not the glory of Jesus Christ as yet. But this one thing is for certain. All of the elect. May I use that word repeatedly this morning? Because this is a major concern to the elect. All of the elect will, without doubt, behold His glory. You may not behold it yet, but you will behold it if you're one of His. He will reveal Himself to all of His children. You may have sat and listened to the gospel for years and yet never have beheld His glory. There was men that walked with Him in His earthly ministry 3.5 years that had never beheld His glory. But they did. They were His. They saw the event, but maybe not the glory of Jesus Christ. I know this was so with me. And I'll admit it readily. I don't know when, as far as the day and the hour and the moment, but I know there was a time that I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't understand. I didn't see Him. I didn't behold His glory. But now, by God's grace, I do, just a little bit. That's a miracle. The revealed glory of Jesus Christ is His attributes, His virtues, and His character displayed in His accomplishment in everlasting love, in His life and death, in His flesh, in the satisfaction of divine justice, in the obtaining of eternal redemption for His sheep. I know I said a mouthful there, but you know it's so. That is His manifestation of glory. Glorious or glory means this as well. It means exaltation, achievement, awesome splendor, astounding beauty. That which separates Him from all others, all creation. It is only those that beheld His glory and do behold His glory that are saved. To know Him is to behold His glory. That's our subject this morning, beholding His glory. All those for whom He died will behold His glory. If you can behold His glory this morning, you have new eyes. He's given you new eyes. He's given you new sight, new perception. You've got eyes that you didn't have before. Not these natural eyes, but eyes that can behold the unseen. We look at Him whom we've never seen. We hear Him who we've never heard. Or shall we say it this way? We see Him who we can't see. We hear Him who we can't hear. We believe on Him whom we've never heard speak. We believe every word that He says. I'm not here to prove anything this morning. I'm really not. I'm not here to make an argument, a doctrinal argument. It is my desire to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, beholding His glory. If you can embrace Him in love. Now listen to me, this is important. If you can embrace Him in love, in His glory, you have a new heart. If you have ever beheld His glory, you will never be the same. Those that beheld the Lord Jesus Christ were changed forever. because they had a new heart, new eyes, new ears, new life. We behold His glory in the gospel. We behold His glory in worship and adoration. We behold His glory in prayer and communion with Him by His Spirit. We behold His glory as we live out our life by faith in Him. He's glorious. I'm here this morning to brag on a person. I'm not here to brag on what He's done. Who He is makes what He's done glorious. But I want to preach Christ to you, a person to you, who is altogether lovely. It would be my desire to behold Him, and it's my desire for you to behold Him, that we may behold Him together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this little group of people, everyone from the smallest to the greatest, from the youngest to the eldest, would be able together behold His glory? He alone is worthy of glory and honor and praise. In Mark 14:62, and Jesus said, "I am." Sometime get your commentary out and look, or get your Bible out and look at the I ams in the Scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and the New. He said, "I am." He said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power in glory." In glory. He's our glorious God. He's our glorious Savior. He's our glorious Redeemer. He's our glorious High Priest. He's our glorious Intercessor. He's our glorious Friend. He's our Prophet, our Priest, and our King, and He's glorious in all of His office. He is exalted above the hills, above the universe, above the angels, above men. Above all, He's glorious. He's the man that rules and rules for His people in love and care. He cares for us. He's glorious in every aspect, everything about Him. There's no fault in Him. He's glorious to be praised in His glorious tabernacle, on His glorious throne. He is full of glory. May we, by God's grace, behold His glory this morning. Our Lord prayed that we would. You know, I'm convinced that there's some folks here on this earth, and maybe right here this morning, that can behold His glory. Maybe somebody right here this morning can really behold the glory of God. Isn't that so? In Jesus Christ. That can really see Him, have fellowship with Him, communion with Him, and worship Him, and believe Him, and love Him. Maybe somebody right here this morning can do that. Isn't that wonderful? He said that we would. He prayed that we would. Listen to this. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am." Why? "That they may behold My glory." That's our Lord praying. And if God ever answered anybody's prayer, He answered His Son's prayer. His Son said this. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "I know you always hear Me. And you always give Me what I ask. I know that." He said, "Why? That they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me." Why? "For Thou loved Me before the foundation of the world. And guess what? He loves his people just like he loved his son. That's amazing. That's what he said. I wouldn't believe it if he hadn't said it. With the same love, he said, with which you love me. He said, that's how I love them. And he said, you see my glory. My glory is revealed to you, and it's going to be revealed to them. If you can behold the Lamb of God, isn't that how John introduced the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is a suffering, resurrected Savior. The Lamb of God represents him, he who lived and died and resurrected in the Lamb, in the midst of the throne is the Lamb. And we beheld his glory as the risen Lamb, the risen crucified one. When John introduced him, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And as I try to proclaim him this morning, as weak as I am, and as weak as my words are, I say to you, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. Look upon him. The scripture says that we do behold him. In Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he tasted death for his people. What are we looking at? Doctrine. I've often heard folks say, not in a long time, but I used to hear it a lot. Folks would say, well, when I come to the doctrines of grace, when I came to the doctrines of grace, when did you come to Christ? Oh, I love the doctrines, we say. Do you love Christ? Do you? Has he tucked you in his arms and hugged you up to his breast and told you he loved you? And have you laid your weeping cheek on his breast and wept with tears of joy and tell him that you love him too? Oh, the glorified Lamb of God. Sinner, fall in love with him. Come to him. Believe on him. Bow to him. He alone is worthy. He alone is glorious. I didn't behold him, but now I do. And I stand with my mouth agape as Thomas did. My Lord and my God. How did I get here? How did I get in your presence? By my grace, he said. I brought you. I brought you. Things clear up. Listen to me. Religion's confusing. Doctrine is confusing apart from Christ. But things clear right up when he, by his grace, enables us to behold his glory. Things just fall in place. Everything's all right, and he teaches us, and we grow like little babies. We don't want to leave. He said, come learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come learn of me. Behold my glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Whereat? in the law, in the doctrines, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what I'd prefer if you told me you loved me? For you to stand right in front of me, look me in the eyeballs, say, "Tommy, I love you." I mean, any way you want to tell me is fine with me. I like to hear it. But I'll tell you what. He just does it one way. He brings us face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the glory of God. We behold His glory. His name is glorious, isn't it? What a glorious name. A name, there's no other name like it. No other name like His name. His name is who He is. His name identifies Him. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, God our Savior. That's what His name means to us. There's just something about that name, isn't there? There's just something about that name. Lots of folks, most folks, it's just a cuss word. That's right. Folks even claim to be believers. I've heard folks that claim to believe the doctrines of grace. Just slang His name around like it's mud. That tells me one thing. You say, "Well, you're being judgmental." Fine. Anybody can do that. They've never beheld His glory. Holy and reverent is His name. I may not say nothing, then I might. But boy, I just don't like to hear it. I don't like to hear folks come off with, and it's not because I'm holy or because I'm better or anything like that, but how in the world could a man behold the glory of God, believe on Christ, love the gospel, and just throw His name down like a dog's name, huh? His name is glorious. In Isaiah 9:6, listen how glorious it is. Listen. "For unto us, and I like the way God wrote that, don't you? "Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, full of wonder, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." His name is glorious. In Nehemiah 9:5, "Then the Levites said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise.'" Oh, His name's glorious. Psalm 72:18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever." Name's glorious. Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." His name's above every name. Psalms 24:7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. That's His name. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of many, the Lord of multitudes. And He has a people which no man can number. Multitudes. What is His name? "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which is God with us." That's who He is. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, glorious places in Christ, glorious. He's glorious in His work. He's glorious with His people. He's raised us up together and made us set together in glorious places in Christ Jesus. Who is His name's glorious? Who is He? His name tells us who He is. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of the living God. That's who He is. His work is glorious. Oh, what a glorious work He did. Isn't His work glorious? He alone, that's what separates Him from all others, who He is. And puts virtue to what He did. Gives virtue to what He did. The Lord Jesus Christ and His work gives glory to His Father. His work is glorious. He successfully and completely and everlastingly redeemed His people. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. In Psalms 111, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Do you have pleasure in the works of God, in the work of Christ? Do you have pleasure in His work? God was pleased with His work. He saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of His people that know Him, that He's brought by faith to know Him and reveal Himself to, have pleasure in His work. As a matter of fact, this is the only pleasure we have on this earth is looking at Him, beholding His glory, and seeing His glorious work that He wrought for us. That's the only real and lasting pleasure there is. We try to find pleasure other places, but it's so vain, it's so temporary, it's so unlike Him, it don't satisfy. But to behold Him and His glory, to behold His glorious work, gives great satisfaction. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Oh, His work is glorious. Wonderful works to be remembered. Oh, remember. We partake of the Lord's Supper. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Remember Him that way in the ordinance He's given us. And we remember Him when we sin, don't we? Huh? Remember Him, don't you? How often do you sin? How often don't you sin? That's a better question. Every day. And all our various sins drive us to behold Him and behold His glory. What am I going to do about it? I've already done it. Look to Christ. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, we behold His glory. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. My sins are gone. Did you hear what Jesus has done for me? My sins are all taken away. Gloriously taken away. Wonderfully taken away. Oh, and to be able to remember it. To remember Him. That the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. David wrote in Psalms 145, verse 9, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts. And I will declare Thy greatness. I cannot but declare His greatness. I may be talking to somebody down at the boat dock and I say, boy, Louis Cates, he's a fine man. He's my friend. He's a fine man. Don't you say anything bad about him. That's all right. But boy, I tell you what, I'm going to declare the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to brag on him. There ain't nothing wrong with him. He's never done anything wrong. Everything he does is good and glorious and great and forever. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my friend. I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. What we do when we come together? We speak of his righteousness and his goodness. Don't we? I hope I do. Well, that's what I want to do. If I don't, you call me on the carpet. If I misrepresent, I know I'm fallible and I make mistakes. And you probably see all those over and over and over again. But boy, if I ever lie on God and lie on his son, boy, you set me up real quick and say, look here. You know, you're talking about my Lord. Because he's great. He's worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. His redemptive work is glorious. He alone could glorify the Father by his perfect obedience in the obtaining of an everlasting righteousness for us, for his people. He alone could do that. That which distinguishes him from all others. There could no one else redeem me. There could no one else work out a righteousness for me, provide a righteousness for me. No one else could put away my sin. It took the doing and dying of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else could do it. No one else was fit to do it. Only him. He's the only Savior of sinners. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, just Jesus Christ. That's all. And I'm learning more all the time what Paul meant when he said, I dare not preach anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know I do sometimes, but I don't have no business. It's my fault and I confess it and forgive me. But there's no business me getting up here chasing rabbits. Preach Christ. And I'm learning. Just beginning to learn, maybe. To set before sinners the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You perish without him. But boy, if you ever see him, behold his glory, you're going to live. You're not going to just exist. You're going to live. Isn't it sad that some folks spend a lifetime on this earth and never live? Oh, let me live in the light of thy countenance to behold thy glory. This one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold his glory, behold his beauty. He alone could atone for the sins of his elect. John 17:4, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I need to hurry. His gospel is glorious. His redemptive work is glorious. But his gospel of good news, which is the news of him. The gospel declares Jesus Christ and his work. His gospel is glorious, and there's not a half a dozen gospels, there's only one. I wish we could get that straight. Eventually we will, by God's grace. There's just one gospel. Folks are going to say, well, you believe you're the only one right, and you're too narrow, and you say all of these things, make all these accusations. Let them have it. Let them have at it. It ain't going to hurt nothing. Don't worry about it. There's only one gospel. There's only one God, and he's sovereign. There's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And man can't save himself. And anything or any person who alludes to something different than that is preaching a false God, a false gospel, a false Christ. They're not beholding his glory. The gospel is glorious. 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. I'm nothing. That's what the writers say. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. I'm not anything, can't do anything, never did anything. I'm nothing. We don't preach ourselves. You know, these preachers like to have all these degrees hanging on the wall. D.D., masters and doctors. And I don't even want to talk to them. They're far above my head. I couldn't understand them anyhow. But what they're doing is promoting themselves. If I had a degree, you'd never know it. You'd never know it, first of all, by listening to me. And you wouldn't know it because I hung them on my wall. I'd put them in a paper shredder. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, what? Your servants. For Jesus' sake. Just an instrument that God has pleased by His grace to raise up. One worm to tell a bunch of more worms. Somebody said, where to get a good meal? One beggar tell another beggar where to get a good meal. One dying worm tell another dying worm where they can live and be happy. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And His church is glorious. And I'm going to close with this, I promise you. His church is glorious. We may not look like it. We look at the outward appearance. Matter of fact, the scripture says about our Lord, when we shall see Him, there is no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. They looked at Him and they said, there's just another Jew. He's causing problems. Let's kill Him. Wasn't that what they said? But oh, they couldn't see His glory. And folks can't see Christ in you either. They just can't do it. What we preach, who we preach, what we believe to most folks, it's just another doctrine. And it's hated by most of the world. But His church is glorious. It's glorious because of its head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Our glorious head. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, if we would try to love our wives half as much as Christ loved the church, we'd love them to death, wouldn't we? Christ loved His church without reservation. Loved them to even unto death. He gave His life for the church. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might cleanse it, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now this is what you and I don't see. Seldom do we see it. A believer mostly sees his unworthiness, his sin, I'm sad to say, but by God's grace, sometimes He lets us behold His glory. But this is what we don't see a lot of the time, and I wish we could, is that we as children of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that behold His glory, we are glorious because Christ is our head, because Christ has put away our sin, because Christ has clothed us with His righteousness. There is nothing about us that has any spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. In God's sight, we're as pure as the Son of God. That's so unbelievable, we just Sometimes we just don't want to see it like that, do we? But it's so. It's so. We're clothed with His righteousness. We have no sin. Christ is our head. Behold His glory in the church, in the midst of the congregation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's amazing. That's amazing. These men outside the city of Jerusalem, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ being taken up into heaven. They stood there gazing into heaven as He went away. And the angels, dressed in white apparel, said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up? This same Jesus, this glorified, resurrected man, will come again in like manner. The glorified Son of God. He's full of glory, full of grace, and full of truth." I hope this morning I preach Christ to you. Let's bow our heads.